I'm Gene Randall. White House and bipartisan congressional aides are set to meet, but few are holding out hope for soon ending the partial U.S. government shutdown, now almost 2 weeks old. Vice President Mike Pence will lead the administration's negotiating team. Funding for U.S. President Donald Trump's proposed Mexico border wall remains the central issue, with neither Mr. Trump nor congressional Democrats showing any signs of compromise. Democrats want the shutdown ended immediately and insist there will be no wall. The White House position, no wall, no deal. Leading this morning's rhetorical assault for the Democrats, Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland.
This government shutdown is part of a larger pattern of a president who puts his personal whims and his effort to score political points before the needs of the American people.
In a morning tweet, President Trump said, quote, "The Democrats could solve the shutdown problem in a very short period of time. All they have to do is approve real border security, including a wall, something which everyone other than drug dealers, human traffickers, and criminals want very badly. This would be so easy to do." The U.S. Defense Department is denying it plans to reduce its operations in Somalia, where it has about 500 personnel posted. A Pentagon spokesman tells VOA there have been no recent Somalia policy changes and says, quote, "We continue to support Somalia's efforts to degrade al-Shabaab." NBC News reported this weekend the U.S. is looking to reduce operations because its airstrikes have taken out a number of the militant group's senior operatives. The Pentagon says the U.S. conducted 47 precision strikes in 2018 against militant strongholds. According to military officials, as of August 2018, there were an estimated 3,000 to 7,000 al-Shabaab fighters in Somalia, along with up to 250 ISIS fighters. For the eighth consecutive Saturday, Yellow Vest protesters are demonstrating in Paris. The often massive protests began in mid-November over dissatisfaction with fuel hikes, the high cost of living, as well as French President Emmanuel Macron's leadership. Since then, Macron has dropped the fuel tax plan, announced extra cash for minimum wage workers, and promised tax cuts for struggling pensioners. He's also showed a willingness to make additional changes to the country's national unemployment. This is VOA News. Western officials are still demanding answers from Russia in the case of Paul Whelan, a citizen of four countries, including the United States. The 48-year-old is being held on suspicion of espionage in Moscow. As Reuters' Lauren Anthony reports, there is widespread speculation the Kremlin may be intent on using Whelan as a pawn.
The former U.S. Marine that's been charged in Russia on espionage allegations is being held in solitary confinement at the notorious Lefortovo detention facility. And now there are rumblings that Paul Whelan, who has American and British citizenship, may be used by Russia as a bargaining chip. Whelan's arrest last month has prompted calls from Western powers for answers. On Wednesday, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said that the U.S. will demand Whelan's immediate return if it determines his detention is inappropriate. Whelan's arrest brings to an end an informal truce where Russia had publicly agreed not to aggressively chase U.S. counterintelligence activities over the past 2 years.
That was Lauren Anthony of Reuters. A judge has extended the term of the grand jury that is part of Robert Mueller's Russia investigation of the Trump presidential campaign. What could that mean? Here's AP's Ed Donahue.
The extension is the latest sign the Mueller investigation will continue for at least the next several months. The grand jury was expected to expire this week after a standard 18-month term. Federal criminal procedure rules allow such extensions when a judge determines it's in the public interest. The extension can only last up to 6 months. President Trump has said for months the Mueller investigation should wrap up.
This thing should have been over with a long time ago.
He has said the Mueller probe has been a huge waste of time because there is no collusion. Ed Donahue, Washington.
The parent company of California's largest utility says it is assessing its finances to meet a growing legal threat from wildfires linked to the company's equipment. Pacific Gas and Electric could face billions of dollars in liability. State fire investigators blamed the utility's power lines for causing several wildfires in October 2017. Still more legal trouble for the company could lie ahead, centered on the cause of a massive blaze that destroyed the Northern California town of Paradise in November. PG&E reported an outage around the time and place that the so-called campfire began. Gene Randall, VOA News.
Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English service of The Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clotte in Washington.
People having no confidence in government, with people having serious agony and anger to the extent more than 8 million Sudanese people, they voted by their feet outside Sudan in diaspora.
A prominent Sudanese ruling party official calls on President Omar Hassan al-Bashir to step down.
As a party, we will take every legitimate measure known to our electoral law and to our constitution in Nigeria to ensure that Amin al-Zakari is removed from office.
Nigeria's main opposition party rejects the appointment of a niece of President Buhari to play a key role in the electoral commission ahead of the February polls.
The term useful idiot is highly offensive for the opposition. They might as well blame it on Wikipedia. They might as well blame it on the English, because English is not my first language. It's just a term I learned about in school.
And Zambian opposition parties call on the president to stop his party leading members from insulting them. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. A prominent member of the Sudanese ruling National Congress Party, or NCP, is calling on President Omar Hassan al-Bashir to step down. Former NCP Secretary Al-Shafi Ahmed Mohammed, who is also a former ambassador to Iran, says the president should resign to pave way for a transitional government of technocrats. His call followed weeks of protests by the Sudanese Association of Professionals, backed by opposition parties. The protesters are displeased with the government's announcement of increases in fuel and food. For reaction to the call by the Sudanese ruling party official, I reached Dr. Miriam El-Zadig El-Mahdi, vice president of the main opposition National Umma Party.
We definitely welcome that. That's why we already welcomed the call by the Union of Professionals, and together we have established an alliance.
Is the Umma Party therefore supporting the Sudanese Association of Professionals, who have labeled Friday a Freedom Friday and is calling for a nationwide protest after the weekly prayers and for next week as well?
Yes, indeed. We have already established common ground. We call it the National Forces supportive of the Sudanese uprising, and for also another mobilization and demonstrations on Sunday, and to be taken up to Wednesday, the 6th of January, to submit a memorandum to the legislative body, the National Assembly, here in the capital of Sudan, as well as in all the states, to submit a memorandum to the legislative body.
Your sister was recently arrested during the protest organized by the Sudanese Association of Professionals, including the spokesperson of the organization. What is the Umma Party's stance on this? And some are saying that your plan to demonstrate is basically undermining the peace and stability of Sudan. So those people who are doing that should be dealt with according to law, and that is why they were arrested. What is your response to that?
Well, we denounce all the detainees from all political parties and activists, because actually it is violation of their constitutional rights. These demonstrations, which we have organized along with the Association of Sudanese Professionals, we are saying this is their constitutional right. These are peaceful demonstrations expressing the objection of the people to the policies and expressing the dire need for serious reforms. Not only reforms, it started by calling for reforms, and it's now calling for the step down of President al-Bashir and his government, because they have got no vision and no ability to bring any well-being to Sudanese people.
Supporters of the National Congress Party, the ruling party, are saying if your party, Umar Party, and other opposition parties are so bent on ruling the country, you should wait till the next election and compete legitimately and see who would win, rather than try to use this protest to force the government to step down or to force President Bashir to step down and hand over power to a transitional government. What do you say to that?
Yes, this is basically a very pivotal point. You see, our problem as opposition parties is not who to rule Sudan, is how Sudan to be ruled. This is the major issue here. And it's not also about legitimacy, because if it's about legitimacy, they are not legitimate all the way. They are coup makers. They came through a coup against a well democratically elected government. So this has been all the time the issue. They don't listen because they are so much busy with the loss of power and the corruption that they have been enjoying and privileged themselves, privileged their relatives and the members of the NCP, to the extent they don't want to let go, though they have felt clearly not only by the fragmenting the country, not only by having most parts of Sudan under martial law and in conflict, but because of the serious lack of horizon and the stalemate in all economy. That's why we have been calling, actually. And for some time, we responded to their call for national dialogue, because we thought and we still think dialogue is the best way to agree between the Sudanese how Sudan to be ruled. But the problem is they didn't give dialogue a chance, because they only saw for it a chance to be hijacked, to prolong for their own rule extra time against the constitution, against their own partisan laws. So this is the problem. The issue of the opposition has never been of taking power. Actually, Sudan now, after these policies of NCP for 30 years, it's a very difficult country to be governed, because there is serious destruction of infrastructure, of fail of the apparatus of the state itself, with people having no confidence in government, with people having serious agony and anger, to the extent more than 8 million Sudanese people, they voted by their feet outside Sudan in diaspora.
Dr. Miriam El Zakdik El Makdi is a vice president of the Sudanese main opposition National Umma Party. She spoke with me from the capital, Khartoum. The Nigerian main opposition People's Democratic Party, or PDP, says it is unacceptable for the Independent National Electoral Commission, or INEC, to appoint Mrs. Amina Zakari as chairperson to its Advisory Committee and Election Coalition Center. She was appointed by Professor Mahmoud Yakubu, chairman of INEC. However, the opposition PDP says the appointment is a conflict of interest, since Zakari is a niece of incumbent President Muhammadu Buhari. But ruling party supporters rejected the accusation, saying Mrs. Zakari is competent with an impartial track record. To learn more about the opposition party's concerns, I reach Kola Ologbodiyan, spokesperson for the PDP.
The People's Democratic Party, as well as our candidate, Atiku Abubakar, our position is that a niece of the president who has refused to demonstrate impartiality in past elections which he conducted should not have any role whatsoever to do in the 2019 election, particularly because we believe that it's not going to be fair. We believe that the election that is going to participate in cannot be credible. And we ask that it recuses herself from the process.
Some people are saying that that is unfortunate because the lady is competent and she is credible. Shouldn't competent count? She is qualified to act in this instance, and that her relations, her blood relations, should have nothing to do with her competence to do the job independently.
Beyond blood relation, we are saying that elections in which she had participated in the past ended in deep controversy. And as a result of that, as a party and many other parties have lost confidence, absolute loss of confidence in her participation in INEC. And because of this, we are saying that she cannot come forth with any result that will be credible, any result that will be transparent, any result that will be free, any result that will be fair. And on account of that, she will recuse herself from the electoral process. She's not the only commissioner in INEC. Why are they particular about her as the head of the collation center?
Her supporters are saying that the PDP saying that she will still vote for her supposed uncle, who is also contesting in the election, is rather fraught with political machinations just to score cheap political points.
Any staff of INEC should be seen as impartial. Any staff of INEC, particularly anybody that is going to be involved in the collation of results, should be such that can be fair-minded, that will have no side in the election. But what we are saying is that Mrs. Amina Zakeri has a side in this election because the needs of the president, and that her role in the past has not demonstrated fairness in the conduct of election, and that her role in the past election in Edo State, in Ekiti State, in Osun State has not demonstrated any form of credibility. And that retaining her in this election can only lead our country into a political crisis and nothing more.
So what is the PDP and other opposition political parties doing about this appointment, particularly when it doesn't look like INEC is budging on this appointment?
Well, other political parties have also expressed outrage against the appointment of Mrs. Amina Zakeri. So it is not just the major opposition political party, the People's Democratic Party, which I speak for, that has expressed displeasure. Notable Nigerians, civil society members, have all come out to denounce this appointment and decide it as totally unacceptable. And as a party, we will take every legitimate measure known to our electoral law and to our constitution in Nigeria to ensure that Amina Zakeri is removed from INEC.
Does that include seeking legal challenge?
Absolutely.
Kola Ologbodiyan is the spokesperson for the Nigerian main opposition PDP. He spoke with me from the capital, Abuja. A Zambian opposition alliance has called on President Edgar Lungu to stop officials of the ruling party from verbally abusing opposition leaders. The alliance, which comprises 10 political parties, singled out Sunday Chanda, media director for the ruling Patriotic Front Party, as the worst culprit. Their remarks came after Sunday Chanda called them crybabies, among other insults, while insisting that the alliance is a plot to endorse main opposition leader Hakainde Hichilema as their candidate for the next general election. For reaction to the opposition's demand for him to be called to order, I reached Sunday Chanda.
The statement coming from the so-called alliance of 10 political parties in Zambia, led by Mr. Hakainde Hichilema, is laughable, and it's a clear indication that the opposition in Zambia is nothing but a congregation of crybabies. What I have said and what I've continued to do is to show the deceit behind the so-called alliance. And I have said that Mr. Hakainde Hichilema in the year 2006 stood on what was called the UDA. And we have said that even in these instances, this is a rebirth of the UDA, and the so-called alliance has nothing to offer compared to what the UDA had to offer. And the congregation that is being referred to as an alliance today is nothing but a group that Mr. Hakainde Hichilema has gathered around himself to endorse him for 2021.
Why do you think the alliance that came together will endorse Mr. Hakainde Hichilema, leader of the UPND, for the next presidential or general election in Zambia? What proof do you have?
It's a given, Peter. It's a given. Mr. Hakainde Hichilema will settle for nothing less than being the candidate for UPND, or being the candidate for the presidential election in 2021 on that alliance's ticket. And as you heard yesterday, Mr. Chimbakambwili, who is supposed to be a key member of that alliance, he distanced himself from the position that had been taken by his colleagues that they would field one candidate. He's saying that that is a decision that should be left to individual political parties. Mr. Chimbakambwili yesterday declared that he's going to contest the 2021 election on NDC, on his party's ticket. But we know that just a fortnight ago, the alliance spokesperson announced that the alliance agreed that they would field one candidate in 2021. That is a deceit that I've been talking about. And what Mr. Hakainde Hichilema is, what he has done is to gather on himself his praise singers. And this is the reason why I've said that Mr. Hichilema has gathered himself around himself useful idiots. And they are saying that because I use the term useful idiot and I've insulted them. It's basically someone who is trying to pursue a political cause that they don't understand. And I'm saying to them that Mr. Hakainde Hichilema has drawn you very close to him because he wants to use you for 2021.
Some of them are saying that is an insult, and they called on President Edgar Lungu to warn you to desist from practicing the politics of insult, since they said it undermines the very foundation of democracy that Zambia is trying to build upon. Will you retract this statement since they find it offensive?
Not at all. I mean, you see, all that I'm doing is to ask the alliance to look at the man in the mirror. It's not my fault that the man that they see in the mirror looks the way that he does. It's not my fault. They might as well go for plastic surgery. But I'm just saying to them that look at the man in the mirror and ask the man in the mirror to change his ways. They are on record as having consistently insulted President Edgar Lungu. I'm not insulting them. I'm just saying they're useful idiots. That is not an insult. The spokesperson for the UPND just 2 days ago said that President Lungu is from the devil. Mr. Chimbakambwili 2 days ago was saying that President Lungu is a curse to Zambia. Those are insults, and none of them has retracted any of those statements that they've said about President Lungu.
Is this what the Zambia political climate is going to be, with people insulting each other? Critics are saying that this is what is not good about the current political climate, because the youth are looking up to some of you leaders to chart a path for them to follow. What is your response to that?
I've not insulted the alliance. I've said that the people that have gathered themselves, or the people that Mr. Hakainde Hichilema has morphed around his little finger, are nothing but useful idiots. That is not an insult. It's a statement of fact, and I can prove it on any given day. The Patriotic Front remains committed to issue-based politics. But what we will not do is to sit back and restrain ourselves from exposing the deceit by the opposition that we are going to do. And if the term useful idiot is highly offensive for the opposition, they might as well blame it on Wikipedia. They might as well blame it on the English, because English is not my first language. It's just a term I learned about in school.
Sunday Chanda is the media director for the Zambian ruling Patriotic Front Party. He spoke with me from London. The Malawian Electoral Commission says political parties and independent candidates can now pick up nomination papers for the upcoming May general election. The commission says all presidential and independent candidates can get their papers from the chief elections officer or a designated officer at the commission's head office in the commercial capital, Blantyre. The announcement came as the electoral body continues compiling a voter list for the elections. For more on the nomination documents for candidates, I read Sangwani Mwafulerwa, spokesman for the Malawi Electoral Commission.
Well, we are preparing for the elections in May this year, so we are in the process of voter verification, but at the same time, we need to start preparing for the nomination of candidates. So we have, starting 30 January, opened up 193 places, which we call them constituency retaining offices, for people that wish to contest for parliamentary elections, but also local government elections, to go and correct their nomination papers. This is a period that will run up to 8th of February. But I should mention here that We will open again the presses to start receiving the nomination papers from the period of 4th to 8th of February. You see that there is an overrun. What we do is that in some cases people do have challenges. Then it's possible that they can correct the nomination papers whilst we're in the period of receiving the nomination papers. What we want is for them to give us back the papers in good time.
Asking these political parties or independent candidates to comply, when does this process begin and what time frame do you give them in order to meet the threshold or the deadline that the Electoral Commission has set?
Well, we issued an electoral calendar way before in February 2018, and what we are doing now is just implementing the calendar. However, we do know that in some cases people may sleep on the job or may tend to relax. So we always come in to remind them. So the call that was issued by the commission was just like a reminder for them to say, now it's time to open. Can you come and get the nomination papers? While we are doing this, the commission would want to stick to the electoral calendar. We would not want to find a situation whereby we are going into receiving of nomination papers, but the parties are not ready or they haven't finished the process of conducting primary elections so that they have the candidates to submit to us. At the same time, we would want to give the parties also ample time so that they scrutinize the candidates that they are giving us. Because what the commission has put in place is that if a party submits the name of a candidate and the candidate is found ineligible after we have scrutinized the nomination process, then that candidate will be disqualified. But the party will not be given a chance to find another candidate. That is what we call nomination by substitution, will not be there. So to avoid all these scenarios, we are giving them ample time to go and find the candidates, assess them if they meet the requisite criteria, and bring back the names to us.
The Electoral Commission is still compiling the voter list. You asked prospective voters to inspect their information. How is that process going so far?
Well, what I can tell you is that the compilation of the voters list is completed with the finishing of voter registration. What we are doing now is that we have printed the preliminary voters register, and this is the one that we are subjecting to the public so that they verify their details. If there is any anomaly, then we should be able to rectify it now and write on the polling day.
Is the Malawi Electoral Commission monitoring or will monitor campaigns for the elections? Because some political parties are expressing concern that they are being prevented from holding rallies, their vehicles are being attacked by unruly supporters of their opponents and all that. Will the Electoral Commission take this into consideration?
What I can tell you regarding the conduct of campaign in Malawi is that we always have the official campaign period. This is put in the electoral calendar. As far as the 2019 elections are concerned, this official campaign period is going to start from 19th of March and end on 19th of May. This is the official campaign period that we monitor and intervene as Malawi Electoral Commission. Any other activity that is being done now, either it's an official campaign or it's just a political activity.
Sangwani Mwafulerwa is the spokesman for the Malawian Electoral Commission. He spoke with me from the capital, Lilongwe. And the UN Refugee Agency reports that inter-ethnic clashes in the Democratic Republic of Congo have sent some 16,000 refugees fleeing for their lives into neighboring Congo-Brazzaville. Deadly clashes between two communities in Mai Ndombe province in the Western DRC erupted late December. For VOA, Lisa Schlein has more from Geneva.
This largely dormant, long-standing rivalry between the Banunus and Batende communities erupted with deadly force on December 29th. The UN Refugee Agency reports this triggered the largest influx of refugees from the DRC into the neighboring Republic of Congo in almost a decade. The dispute reportedly has killed dozens, with around 150 injured among those fleeing across the border. The newly arriving refugees, mostly women and children of the Banunu tribe, say their homes were attacked and burned, people were killed, and they fled because they feared the fighting would escalate. The Republic of Congo currently is hosting about 60,000 refugees, mainly from Central African Republic, DRC, and Rwanda. UNHCR spokesman Andrei Mihecic tells VOA this large influx of refugees into the country in a matter of days is a major event that requires a major response.
The area of the Congo-Brazzaville where these people are is very remote. It's not easy to reach. The refugees who are there are living in extremely difficult conditions in the remote areas where the communities are actually struggling to access water, food, and healthcare.
Mihecic says UNHCR is working with the World Food Program and other agencies to distribute food, shelter materials, and other basic relief items. He says conditions for the refugees are likely to get worse because of the rainy season and floods in the area. He warns the newly arrived refugees are exposed to malaria and waterborne diseases. Getting aid to them will be difficult because of the remoteness of the area. He notes some localities are only accessible by the river. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clotte, in Washington, D.C. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spark from our collection of music from the continent. But first, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said Friday that he deeply regrets the decision of Somalia's federal government to expel a top UN official from the country, but that he will name a replacement. VOA's Margaret Bashir has more from the United Nations.
The Somali federal government declared UN envoy Nicholas Haysom persona non grata on January 1st, ordering him to leave the country just 4 months after he took up his post as the UN Secretary General's special representative and head of the UN assistance mission in the country. UN Chief Guterres spoke twice this week with President Farmajo trying to reverse the expulsion, but apparently failed. UN spokesperson Farhan Haq said Friday that while Guterres has full confidence in Haysom, he would appoint a new envoy to head the mission known as UNSOM.
The Secretary General is totally committed to ensuring that the needs of the Somali people are at the forefront of the work of the United Nations in Somalia. UNSOM needs to be able to carry out in the most effective manner its mandate to support the country.
The government accused the UN of interfering in its internal affairs after Haysom sent a letter to authorities raising the case of Mukhtar Robo, a former leader of militant group Al-Shabaab, who sought to run for the presidency of Somalia's southwest state. The National Electoral Commission banned Robo from running, but the Southwest State Electoral Body said he could be a candidate. Robo was arrested last month, and violent protests ensued both for and against the decision. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, the United Nations.
Two of Australia's nine high-security immigration detention centres are being closed in what the government says is a vindication of its tough border protection policies. Ministers say the facilities are no longer needed because they have stopped asylum seekers who often risk their lives on seaworthy vessels from trying to reach Australia by sea. For VOA, Phil Mercer reports from Sydney.
Australia's network of detention centres has a troubled history, including escapes and hunger strikes.
That's what's going on now in detention centre. They smashed the whole place, they burned it down. That's Yunga Hall detention centre.
In September last year, riots broke out at an immigration facility 95 kilometres east of Perth after a suicide attempt by a detainee. However, the government is closing a high-security centre in Melbourne, while another in Sydney will shut later this year. The centre-right government says the closures are a milestone in its efforts to protect Australia's borders, unlike the opposition Labor Party when it was last in power. Immigration Minister David Coleman.
These immigration detention centres have been closed and are able to be closed because this government has got Australia's borders under control. Labor opened 17 detention centres. We've closed 19.
But Nosheen Mogadam from the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre insists the government is being deceptive by simply transferring detainees and increasing capacity at other facilities.
It seems as though people will be shuffled along to other detention centres. It's not solving any problems.
Since 2013, the Australian Navy has been ordered to turn back migrant boats, a policy that critics say is illegal under international law. Asylum seekers arriving by sea have also been warned that they'll never be allowed to settle in Australia. About 1,250 detainees are currently held in Australia's mainland immigration camps. Most are from Iran, New Zealand and Vietnam. In 2013, there were 10,000 detainees. Several hundred migrants remain in an offshore camp funded by Canberra on the Pacific island of Nauru. The mandatory detention of asylum seekers without valid visas was introduced in Australia in 1992 in response to a wave of boat arrivals from Southeast Asia. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
And right now it's time for music from African collection. You are hearing Two Face with African Queen. Then you would hear Dana Nyange with Angejua, Pato Ranking with Everyday, Alosios with Posa Ya Bolingo, and P Square featuring Martin with Ino Easy.
And just yesterday, you came around my way. You changed my horse in way. With your astonishing beauty. Oh, you couldn't make a brother sing. No ordinary thing, a supernatural being. And no, you are brighter than the moon, brighter than the star. I love you just the way you are. And you are my African queen, the girl of my dreams. You take me where I've never been, yeah. You make my heart go ding-a-ling-a-ling. Oh, you are my African queen, girl of my dreams. And you remind me of a thing, and that is the African beauty. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, you are my African queen. Oh Lord, ooh Lord. Out of a million, you stand as one, the outstanding one. I look into your eyes, girl, what I see is paradise. Hey, you captivated my soul. Now every day I want you more. I cannot deny this feeling I'm feeling inside. Hey, no one cannot take your place. You cannot take your space. And it's a fact I cannot erase. And no, you are the one that makes me smile. Make me float like a boat upon the night. Girl, you are my African queen, the girl of my dreams. You take me where I've never been, you make my heart go ding-a-ling-a-ling. Yeah, you are my African queen, the girl of my dreams. And you remind me of a thing, and that is the African beauty. Yes, I know, you are my African queen, and I know, see, I know, see, I know what I am feeling in my heart and in my soul. Oh, I know that it's this love, and I know that this love was surely sent from up above, cause you're the only one that I think of. You are my African queen, and I know that it means that you're the only one that I will serve. I'll give you my heart, my love, my body and my money. Every other thing you think of. In a man, who could think of anything better than you? Who could think of ever hurting you? Sacrifice my all, I'll give it all to you. You are my African queen, for real. You are my African queen, the girl of my dream. The girl of my dream, you may have never been. Oh, na na, yeah. Oh, la, la. You are my African queen. My African queen, you remind me of a thing. Oh, love you. One year more, I love you. I love you, I love you. One year more, I love you, I love you. Oh yeah, my African queen, I love you, I love you.
Nijilaze kifuani mwake yeye. Natamani nikifumbua macho awe wa kwanza nione sura yake yeye. Alisema babu simtusi mamba ujavuka mto. Kasema bibi usizala ukijiko kipata mwiko. Anaupenda usiwaone wazeme. Kupenda usinione mimi mzembe. Kama mapenzi pesa kwa kipato chako ningeondoka. Kama mapenzi rakwa hizo kero zako basi ningechoka. Naomba Mungu nipate nafuu, tulie kwangu mana ninakata kitungu. Macho yako tu machozi kwangu. Ningepita kimya bila yanachoma moyo. Maumivu yangekuwa taa ningeshazima hasira tabu ya moyo. Nasikia sikia maneno tu mitaani na kila wakisema nahisi nasimwamini. Ukiona umependwa basi jua
mjinga katendwa.
Ukiona umetendwa basi jua
na mjanja kapendwa.
Sitajuta na sitalalama popote. Tasema na moyo wa
she says she is willing to share my pain.
She says you will climb with me to the mountain. She says she is willing to share my pain. And you know that I love you every day. Love you, baby.
your hand work here. No be lie, I say no be lie. No be everybody when sleep for night, you wake up see the light here. See the future is bright here. I need the enter for I. Make you do your best here. Papa God go handle the rest here. Even if you no get money, they call it a shake body. No need to get your body. If it no be God way, that's some baby dead body. Nobody be no baby. When you fall, you go stand up again. You try them again, again and again and again. Cause it's not easy, yeah. To the singer, the dance, and the people, they'll be just, yeah. My brother, my sister, love me today. If you go to a party, you make with the tango, yeah. Baba God, now your hand working, yeah. I see my people, eh, on a good day. Nobody will go for this world to suffer, eh. Than a bad day. Now you come today, another man tomorrow. My brother, which kind of life it is, eh? Everybody getting always to follow. Try, but you know easy, yeah. Even if you don't get money, yeah. They call it a shake body. No need to the dead body. If you know be God way, that's gonna be dead body. Nobody be no baby. When you fall, you go stand up again. You try them again, again and again and again. Cause it's not easy, yeah. To the singer, the dance, and the people, they rejoice, yeah. My brother, my sister, don't be today. If we go to a party, yeah, make we the tango, yeah. Baba God, now your hand working, yeah. Bring it back. Make una serious, yeah. Why? For na business, yeah. I make with the threat to the riches, yeah. Why? Cause you know easy, yeah. Even if you don't get money, yeah. They call it a shake body. Cause the way you defect the complaint, yeah. If you know be God way, yeah. That's some baby dead body, yeah. Nobody be no baby. And when you fall, you go stand up again. You try them again, again and again and again. Cause you know easy, yeah. The singer, the dance, and the people, they rejoice, yeah. Oh, oh, oh. My brother, my sister, don't be today. Oh, oh, oh. If we go to a party, yeah, make we the tango, yeah. Baba God, now your hand working, yeah. I say, hey, you know, easy, yeah. Oh, oh, oh. To the singer, the dance, and the people, they rejoice, yeah. Oh, oh, oh. My brother, my sister, don't be today. Oh, oh, oh. If we go to a party, yeah, make we the tango, yeah. Baba God, now your hand working. You know easy, yeah. You know easy, yeah. My brothers and sisters, you know easy, yeah. You know easy, yeah. You know easy, yeah. Even if you don't get money, you know easy, yeah. You sing and you dance, you talk less of to shake body. You know easy, yeah. Now your hand working, yeah. Now your hand working, yeah. Baba God, now your hand working, yeah. Now your hand working, yeah. Money, we go to our leadership body. Now your hand working, yeah, you know easy.
Yeah, my
ukimwona kapendeza, si utafikiri katokea mbinguni, ni mtoto mkali kaumbi kama mama. Yeah.
Oliva Ngoma with Adia, but before then you had Ali Kiba and Christian Bella with Nagaramia, and that was music from the continent. We hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, managing editor Shaka Sali, reporter Douglas Mpuga, producer Saida Hamdun, and our engineer for today, the ever-friendly Nashwan Kale. We say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, what do you have that you were not given? And if you were given, then why boast of it? I'm your host, Peter Clotte in Washington. Good evening, Africa. Thank you.